regard to the next item, which is the website, the county has been great. We have Lisa De La Rionda here, as well as Heather Sherm. They've both been working on a template for a website, a web design. There's nothing to show the commission now. You know, these things have to be written, the content has to be vetted, and it has to be inputted. It's just that I wanted to let the commission know we're starting, and we're going to proceed and get it done as quickly as we can, professionally, so that we, you know, we can, the community can have a means of taking a look at the commission and what we're doing. Now, you should have before you some logo designs, and I apologize for giving you minutia, but a logo design is something that you kind of live with for a while, and it'll be on various printed items. We have two different submissions. The submission with many logos is from Graphics, Virginia, in Graphics. The second submission is from the web design folks, and Heather Sherm, I think, is the one who is responsible for these. I wanted to get an idea from the commission, a sense as to what you felt an adequate logo would be. And I will tell you that Dr. Fiore was concerned with the first grouping of logos, that they all looked too judicial. They all looked like law enforcement type of logos. You may or may not agree with that, but the symbols are of that nature. And she thought that words inside the logo would be an important deviation from that. And I call your attention to the bottom left of the second submission, Commission on Ethics, Palm Beach County, with the book, the hand, and then honesty, integrity, character. And that would be my suggestion as a logo, with obviously I defer to the commission. In addition, what's been looked at, and I know Mr. Farash is a partial, perhaps, to the bottom left of the larger submission, with the Lady Liberty with the Scales of Justice, any others that you might want to suggest. And we can change, these can be changed, these can be modified. I just wanted to, this is one of those early steps that, I'm not going to call it a nuisance, but it's a necessity, that we get this done and just move on. And then we'll be ordering the appropriate paper to go along with it. Mr. Chair,
any comments? Anybody want to read us? Three lawyers up here, so you got at least a half a dozen comments, half a dozen opinions. We disagree with ourselves. The only one I have some concern with is the one of someone swearing an oath on top of what looks like a holy book.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was going to say, what kind of book?
Some people don't swear oaths, they affirm oaths.
Right.
I don't know if there's a First Amendment issue, but I'd rather stay away from it.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I don't know if there's a First Amendment issue with that one, but I'd rather stay away from that issue if we can.
Yeah. I like the scales. I think that's what we're all about, justice. So.
Which scales would that be?
All of them.
All of them?
All of the scales as opposed to the book or the gavel.
There's one that says ethics on it. I like that one.
Okay.
The one in the box of three?
Yes.
That says ethics. And that would be the Lady Liberty or the ethics in black and white?
The Lady Liberty. I'm on the bottom, the one in blue.
Okay, the one on the bottom, the one in blue.
The process of elimination, maybe we can eliminate the book and the gavel. So is there anybody that likes those?
We can eliminate those.
We're going to eliminate those, and we'll just deal with the Lady Liberty and the scales and the scales by themselves.
Um, I would suggest that we that I have either graphics or the public affairs office. The ethics that are in the box on the with the Lady Liberty is never going to be seen in the uses that it will be 99% of its uses. So if we're if you're okay with this design, and also it's been suggested, and I agree with this, that if we use colors that are consistent with the Palm Beach County colors, it would probably be a good thing. What I would suggest then to public affairs is to take the bottom left on the six, the larger ones, the second, take, instead of the book and the hand, take the Lady Liberty, and then either get ethics in there in a larger sense in the background, so it's a little more prominent.
Which one is that? Could you hold it?
It would be this design, but take this the graphic out of it, and then put the Lady Liberty design with the scales in there, something along those lines, but get the word ethics into the circle.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Johnson. Do you have a favorite?
Thanks for asking. I think that the coloration of these designs are I believe are more effective artistically and also more consistent with Palm Beach County. And my preferences were the simple scale for the Lady Liberty. I actually like the simple scale for its simplicity, and I would put in the background, maybe in a fade in the background, the word ethics. But either one's fine with me. Lady Liberty with the scale. I just like the three-dimensional aspect of the, and this would be right above Lady Liberty on the left-hand side. That three-dimensional aspect, I think, is a good touch. But you know,
I agree. I don't think we need to be too flashy. We're not trying to sell a car or something like that.
And we're not a judicial body.
Right. That works for me. So then I will work with staff, and we'll put the finishing touches on that logo. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Ethics training, we talked about the intern program, and that's a work in progress. I have a second intern starting, another college student that's going to law school next year, daughter of a public defender, who I had met at youth court. So, you know, we have a good crew, and they'll be doing some, you know, we'll call it grunt work on the computer to develop databases and things like that. They obviously won't be working any cases. That's not appropriate. And specific tasks will be a task where they can help the office, the executive director, and the commission. The ethics training transition is coming along. I'm starting to fill up my calendar with training requests or speaking requests, but at this point, Mr. Berger is still and Mr. Merriman, I believe, are still going out there and training on the code of ethics. If that's okay with the commission as we transition, but ultimately, you know, I'm going to take more and more of a role in that, and we will discuss. I will discuss with the commission if that becomes too onerous and I can't get my other duties done, and see what we need to do. I think that the county staff, and they've been great, understands that we are independent. I am independent. This commission is independent. Ms. Beckler is independent. So that the more we can sever those entanglements, probably the better that we all are. So we're moving in that direction, and that's ultimately...
Another question. Before you leave the descriptions, we're going to have some cards printed, and I was wondering if you want to put your professions, or with your name, attorney, or CPA or what have you. We talked about it, and I told Mr. Johnson that as far as I was concerned, I just wanted, if they use the term judge, I wanted retired so as not to confuse anybody that it's some kind of a judicial opinion that I don't have any authority to give. And so I wanted to bring it up as far as everybody else is concerned. Those of you who are attorneys, do you want the term listed as attorney or?
Not for me.
Not for me. I think we're not sitting as attorneys here, so I don't think it's appropriate.
So it'll just be the name.
And would you like commissioner on that or just names and then commissioner, commission on that or commission on that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Commissioner.
That's it?
Okay.
Mr. Johnson, if I can interrupt your presentation with regard to the sort of separating the commission from Palm Beach County. You and I spoke a little bit about a computer system, an independent computer system, because right now we're tied into the county computer system. Have you had an opportunity to look into that? I know that's part of the budget process you're going through right now.
I've made a call, and the process has begun. I'm trying to get a cost analysis, and then we can put it as a line item budget item to have our own service, and we will.
And we will be completely independent of the county network.
We'll have access to the county network, but they will not have access to our network or our service.
Thank you.
And that is fine. That can be done. Okay.
All right, sir. Now, this next issue is an important one, and we can't. I can't get into too much detail today because it's not been placed on the agenda with specificity. But I have completed what I refer to as draft protocols and policies and procedures. And they'll be subsumed into the larger policies and procedures. And I wanted to have some direction as to how to process. We already have, as you know, been asked for advisory opinions from various entities. As I stated previously, we need to be careful because there's a precedent that will be this commission needs to evaluate and interpret, not evaluate but interpret the code, there are some thorny issues that may or may not be come into play. So I want to get started and start to write opinions for submission. But I also would ask that perhaps we can set a workshop, a public workshop. And this was suggested by Judge Rogers, that we just roll up our sleeves and hunker down and really get into the policies and procedures and some of these specific early issues. Because there are some issues that can be decided early on that then everybody will know. The good news is there's case law out there that codes that affect substantive rights of persons are not retroactive. So I don't think that we have any emergency situation right now where somebody needs to resign in the next day or two from one thing or the other when people have possible conflict. And most of the opinions that are coming in now, the request for advisory opinions, involve what I call 3D and 3C of the Code of Ethics, which is prohibited contractual relationships.
Explain that a little bit further. I know what you're talking about, but the record may not.
In general terms, what we're talking about is when somebody has a contractual relationship or is worked for an entity with a contractual relationship with, right now, the county, which is the jurisdiction of this commission, and also is either an employee of the county or is a person on a committee or board appointed by the county. What we're getting is a lot of board members are saying, you know, I'm in a company and we have contracts with the county, and I'm going to have to resign because I'm not going to give up my company's not going to give up my contract. Now, of course, the ordinance does have the waiver provision where the county commission can waive any conflict if it's in the interest of the county and there's not an ethical problem, if they perceive it as not an ethical problem. They can do that all day long. What the commission has done is they basically kicked it over to the Ethics Commission to give them some guidance. I think that's appropriate, but we do need to give them some guidance as far as whether how we're, the code is being interpreted. For example, a couple of examples would be somebody who moonlights at a company, Home Depot, say at a restaurant where there are waitresses in a restaurant and the restaurant provides food for emergencies to the county. So there's a contract with the county. Does that waitress have to resign? Does that person who works 20 hours a week have to resign? And there's various considerations. We have a $500. The code says if it's less than $500, it's not a problem. Well, that's taken from the state law, which was, I think, 1970, something in 68. You know, maybe this body should recommend to the county commission that an amendment increase that to $5,000 to $10,000 in this day and age, as far as the contractual conflict. The state also has a different type of conflict. The state conflict is you can't be working for a department that and also be working for an outside entity or own an outside entity that deals with that department. This code expands it out to anything having to do with county government. So these are issues that this commission needs to flesh out, and I would suggest that we set a time where it's convened for the commission to really kind of hunker down and discuss. I'll call it the low-hanging fruit. The first one's coming in where most of the advisory requests are, what do I do? I'm on a board. What do I do? I have a second job. You know, somebody making $20,000 with the county, you know, an hourly wage should not be prohibited from having a job with an entity that provides paperclips to the county.
Mr. Johnson, it might be helpful, I'm looking at my calendar here, if we just start setting monthly meetings, at least for the foreseeable future, and we can roll the workshops into that. That way we can all try to clear our calendars in advance, and I presume at some point, hopefully in the near future, we're going to have actual hearings where we decide these issues so we can start setting, let's say, the third Thursday of every month, just for sake of argument, and we can roll the workshops.
We were thinking about maybe one half-day Saturday or Friday or something within the next month or so.
That all works
so long as
we start doing it on a monthly basis
after that, right.
So that we can both clear our calendars and also the public knows when these meetings will be, because these will be public meetings.
Right. Now, the complaints are, whether probable cause determinations on complaints and hearings on complaints will require full hearings. Advisory opinion requests, they're not really, we can make them hearings, but they're not really adversarial at all. What we're doing is just interpreting and then giving a letter of advice, basically. But yes, that would be great, and we can, I did want to have, there's one issue that's come before the commission that was requested by the administrator, Bob Weissman, regarding an urban design company. But that is actually, there are four requests for advisory opinions that are very similar. And there are actually three companies, even though only one was identified, there are three companies in exactly the same position. And for, let me back up, what we're talking about is somebody who has a business, is a vendor that does business with the county, and is also hired by the county, not as an employee, but as a vendor or as an advisor, or in some capacity that's a contract worker and not an employee or an official within the meaning of the Code of Ethics. And I think it's one of the issues that this commission needs to determine is Does the commission just say yay or nay based on the code and an advisory capacity, or does the commission give dicta, well, this is not a violation of the code, however, the appearances are X, Y, and Z. And for that, I would probably want to bring in, on those type of issues, want to bring in witnesses or persons to just give their case to the commission.
How about June 5th? That's a Saturday.
Yeah, I think one thing we...
which is coming Saturday.
Okay. I think we need to maybe adopt the policies and procedures officially that we're going to operate by, because ultimately this could be a matter certiorari to the court, because we have lawyers involved, and they are going to look for these technicalities to say, well, how did Ellen get the authority to do this or that? So that was my concern about an immediate meeting, so that at least we can etch into granite the policies and procedures and give him the authority to do what he wants to do.
You anticipate discussing and adopting those policies and procedures?
Yeah, make it a part of our record.
I'm all for that. That's a good idea.
Did you want to discuss the draft for advisory opinions as such a policy and procedure?
Yes.
Okay.
I did. And if you thought it was a good... Is this what you were you prepared to do this today?
Sure, I can answer any questions or change anything that the commission deems appropriate.
And did most of you get this today? And do you have time to look over it?
Yeah. In just 5 minutes, we review it.
I just
give
it a few days.
Okay. The new breed of lawyers just could do something in 5 minutes, unless he's billing.
I'm going to get you back for that one.
And it's on the record, isn't it?
Yeah.
That leaves Leslie, yeah. Don't talk too much up here.
Mr. Johnson, what's your viewpoint in case we start working with these and find we need to change some manner, some method, or some portion of this? How would we go about changing it if we want to do that?
Well, two things. Number one, I'm going to be working on bylaws, which will that will be the procedure with the commission.
Okay.
And I've already I'm getting started on that, and the policies and procedures they won't have the actual technical how-to necessarily, but they can be changed. I mean, these aren't etched in stone. The commission at any time can change the policy and procedure.
I would, on your section on intake, I would say proceed with caution in limiting the number of days in which you are agreeing to answer things. For example, in Section A, you said we will review everything within 2 days of the seat. I don't think you need to narrow it down to 2 days. You say as soon as possible or something, because there may be some reasons you can't get to it in 2 days.
How about in a timely manner? I was being optimistic,
As I said, in dealing with possible future litigation, I'd like for you to leave yourself as much expansion room as possible.
Yeah.
I'd like to, in terms of rendering opinions, which may be both precedent and which have significant importance. I just want to make sure we leave ourselves enough time to truly vet these issues.
And I guess I wasn't, this is too vague. The purpose of A was you'll look at it within expedited and just take a look at it, but not render an opinion. Obviously, the letter has to be generated,
sure.
The research has to be done, and if necessary, the presentation to the commission.
I think B is good, where it says that you're going to submit a written acknowledgement within 5 days. We got your complaint. So that makes them feel good about having received or whether we've been able to do anything within that period or not. At least there's an acknowledgement that we have received a complaint and it's in the record.
Okay, I wouldn't limit it to U.S. mail. I think any
channel of communication that can be confirmed. I think if you send someone an email and you get a confirmation back, that's adequate notice that they got it.
Yep.
Okay. Or a fax, or you know, they pick it up in person, or however. Just
how about?
I think it's important to document in the records that it that a response has been provided. I just think a written acknowledgement will be sent promptly. Okay. In other words, how it's documented is, I think, is within your discretion, but I think you should have a policy that it is done.
So I'm just going to take out by U.S. mail.
Correct.
And then it's written acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we want to micromanage, as I guess what Mr. Reinhardt is saying. You were selected because of your discretion and your wisdom and your knowledge, so whatever gets the job done, it gets it done well in a public fashion. That's all we care about.
And my purpose is not to bog the commission down with minutia, but in the early stages, I would err on the side of caution to bring things to your attention that I'm doing. And as the process proceeds and we flow, and I have an administrative assistant, a lot of these things I don't need to bother you with, and if they need to be changed, the commission will tell me and we'll change them.
On 5, I would add a C, Mr. Johnson, Roman numeral 5.
Okay.
For some form of publication of the inquiry and response to the Commission on Ethics, as well as the public.
Where are you?
Roman numeral 5.
Okay.
I would add a C where...
Oh, okay.
Publication. What?
Publication.
Yeah.
Tell me what you're thinking of.
My thought is that I don't have a problem if someone files something that's clear outside our jurisdiction that you respond to it without contacting us, but that you let us know afterwards. And somehow that response is maintained in the public records in some fashion.
Okay. That's a good point. You're making two points. One is notice to the commission that it's been done and then that it's available to the public.
Correct. I mean, if someone says that Satan has just violated the Palm Beach County Code of Ethics, we don't need to know about that, you know, frivolous submission, other than, you know, later on, just let us know that you did this.
Okay. And following up on Judge Rogers' comments in Section Roman 2E and 3E, I would take out the 30 days. I mean, perhaps over time, as we get a better sense of how long things are taking, if we want to tie ourselves to some time limits, I would just say it will be processed, and unless otherwise, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But I think Judge's point is also good that these are, once they're policies and procedures, you get into judicial review, and I think it's important in the early stages we don't micromanage the process.
Okay.
I have nothing further.
Well, can we have a motion?
Well, I have a thought here. What do you anticipate the turnaround time? I guess the opinion, that would vary depending on the importance of the opinion. And what, for example, the ones you have that have been requested thus far, what is the expectation and or need that those opinions be rendered? And what time frame?
Well, the time frame will decrease as we go forward and have some precedence, number one. And number two, the initial review and interpretation of the code becomes, we get through that.
Excuse me a minute. Could you check with our implementation committee? I told them I'd give them a chance to ask some questions here, but I see they're deserting the ship.
One of them's still here.
Okay.
They're out there talking.
Okay. At the end, we have a place for comments at the end of the session, so you will have heard something about everything on the agenda. So at that time, we'll open it up for comments from the audience and especially the implementation committee.
I anticipate non-jurisdictional responses to be very, very quick. Directly answered by the language of the code once we interpret the code. Because some of this, I guess if it's direct language, there's no real interpretation, so that would be fairly quick as well. And I'd say within 30 days or less. And certain issues that are coming up, I think, would be best brought before the commission, so at the next commission meeting. So I think that we can answer most, if not all. That's why I put the 30 days down there. I think that 30 days is a pretty good time frame for, and if we're overwhelmed, I'll have to come back to the commission and talk about budget, and because there's such a need. Right now, I think we can handle what I anticipate coming in the near term, and I'm thinking 30 days is a pretty good time frame.
I think in section F, perhaps number 6, the advisory opinion letter form, in section F, that perhaps we could have signatures of both the executive director and chairperson. I would like to add, or vice chairperson, since we have to have two, and one may not always be available.
And I do anticipate that that most advisory opinions will not have to come before the full commission, and that the chairperson or vice chairperson, if needs be, will actually the executive director in consultation with, if it's determined that it's answered plainly. They're not bogged down the